Jesus has been teaching on the Sermon on the Mount here, and he's been going through this list of things that you have heard before, right? Talking about the law, and then really getting to the heart of the issue beyond that. And Lord willing, we'll be finishing chapter 5 this morning as we start talking about loving and who we should love. I know a couple years ago I was talking to someone, and they're like, you know, the Bible is just so old-fashioned. It's a book that was written so long ago, and it's really not relevant for today. And I had to stop him for a little bit, and I told him, I said, you know, the Word of God may not be contemporary. You know, they had camels and donkeys and sandals and robes, but it is so relevant because the human heart hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. The standard hasn't changed, right? We've been going all the way along talking about all these things. The standard isn't the problem. The problem is I'm a sinner, and I can't do this. And I'll tell you, as Jesus has been talking about, you know, we talk about the big things, you know, adultery and murder. And, you know, it's like, oh, I'm not so bad because I've never done those things. But as Jesus has gone on, he really starts stepping on my toes. And, you know, last week we talked about going the extra mile. Then in here, how do we respond to when we're offended? And we live in a day and age where so many people are offended, right? I mean, people are looking for offense everywhere. You know, and there's almost a badge of honor if you were offended nowadays. And how do I respond to that? Well, this morning we're going to start talking about love and who we are to love, and who do we treat well around us? Jesus starts off here, Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. He says, you have heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Once again, Jesus is referring to the teachings of the Pharisees who are teaching the law. And this is out of Leviticus chapter 19. It says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And so it's clear that Israel was told to love their fellow Jew. They were told to love their brethren. Not to hold grudges. Not to hate them. But pursue love. And actually, if you go back to the law can be defined really as two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And the second is answer to the first, is love your neighbor as yourself. Because God is love, right? He issues us that we should love one another. Churches should be embodied with love. That we care for one another. In this church here, we pray for one another. The value of that. To know that you have people that will have your back. That even though we might be different and we might have different backgrounds and different life experiences, yet because of the love of God can flow through us, it unites us together. At least that's the plan. Right? The Bible tells us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Years ago, I used to say, you know, we're just one big family. We need to treat each other like family. And I had a guy pull me out, you know, back shaking hands and people are leaving. He goes, Pastor, I don't want my church to treat me like my family does. He goes, you don't know my family. They don't treat me well. So maybe we should say, you know, we should treat each other better than family. And I can't help as we look at what's going on around us. What a difference having a church family makes. You know, I've talked to a lot of different pastors. I think one of the frustrations with this whole COVID thing, one of the many frustrations, if I'm honest, is that we've gotten so many people used to doing home church. Right? I can sit in my pajamas. I can have my cup of coffee. I don't have to deal with anyone. You know? And people have gotten so used to that. You know, I can watch it and listen to it in my convenience. You know, 10 o'clock, 10:30, that's too early. So I'll watch it some other time when it's more convenient for me. And now while some of these things are good, I know, you know, we probably have several hundred people who watch, you know, our services, you know, throughout the week, and we're glad we're putting it out there. You know, it's a great tool to have. But folks, it's not church. There is something to be together. There is something to be singing together. I love hearing up here, you know, listen to the voices. You guys all make me sound good, right? But to have prayer and say, hey, will you pray for me? You know, I'm glad we're doing our potlucks again. To sit down and talk and laugh. I just love to sit back and just listen to everyone kind of munch and laugh and smile. I mean, that's just so good for the soul. But church is more than just listening to a sermon. Right? And I know, you know, over the course of time, some of you, for health reasons, have not been able to be in here. And time and time and again, I talk to you, and you're like, oh, I've missed it. Just sitting together with God's people. And we are called to love one another. Jesus says this, 1 John 4:7-8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is his nature, is love. And if he is in my heart, then he's put love in my heart. And we need to express that to one another. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us so much. He loved you so much, he sent his Son. Now think of that. Years ago, I had an opportunity to share the gospel with this gentleman. And he had a boy that was probably about 6-7 years old. And I asked him, I said, how much do you love your son? He goes, I love my son more than anything. He goes, I would do anything for my son. I said, let me ask you something. Would you trade your son's life for mine? He goes, no way. I said, I don't blame you. I'm a father. I understand that. I said, God loves you so much that he traded his son for you. And his eyes got big. And he goes, now you don't understand all the things I've done. I said, it doesn't matter. God loves you so much he gave his son for you. He goes, really? I said, yeah. Wow. Because God is love. And John tells us here, says, look, he laid down his life for us. And if that love is in me, then I ought to be able to lay down my life for my brethren. Folks, together as a church, I should be able be willing to die for you. That's the love of God. It's not a natural love. I can't do that on my own. But because of the love of God in me, that's the kind of love we should have. It's a God love. You know, Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That sacrificial love that we should have for one another should be a sign of a true church. You know, unfortunately, churches have become so many other things. It's venues for entertainment, it's a place where we kind of schmooze and wheel and deal. And so many people have been hurt because of churches. Because the love wasn't there. Actually, Peter says this, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. And folks, I can gather together with people who are willing to overlook my faults, of which there are many, because you love me. And I overlook your faults. And I overlook our differences because of love, because love covers a multitude of sins. Years ago, I had a gentleman who came to me and goes, Pastor, I need to confess some things. And he started talking about some of the things that he had done. And because it involved the family, his wife went and told a few other people. And he goes, "Pastor, I don't know what to do." He goes, "There are people in the church who knows what I have done." And he goes, I feel very uncomfortable about that." He goes, "I'm actually thinking about leaving and going to a different church. I want to go somewhere where people don't know who I am. And they don't know what I've done." And I asked him, I said, "Let me ask you. Are these people treating you any different?" And they're like, "No." I said, "Let me get this straight. You want to go to a church where people don't know your sin?" He goes, "Yes." I said, "Or you could stay in a church where people know your sin and love you anyways." I said, "Let me ask you, which is the better deal?" And he kind of hung his head down. I said, "Folks, we can go and pretend to be something that we're not, so we're loved. But folks, it is so much better when people know who we are and love us anyways. That's the church. Or at least it should be." And in this, that becomes an infectious church. You know, I share with you guys that, you know, about 2 years ago now, you know, we had some visitors come through and came over to a potluck dinner that we had. And they sat down and ate, and they were leaving. So I got up and shook their hand. I said, "Oh, I'm so glad you guys, you know, decided to stop and came over to eat with us." And it was just, he goes, "Pastor," he goes, "can I tell you something?" I said, "What?" He goes, "This church?" I said, "Yes." He goes, "The people really seem to like each other." I said, "Yeah, they do." And that's infectious. Jesus told his disciples, "By this you'll know that you are my disciples if you love one another." That we represent God. And the world's watching. And they're trying to see how we behave. And I'll tell you, I am blessed because I've had opportunities to talk to various people in this community. And time again, I hear what a good testimony this church is. So I can say, "Hey, come on in, be a part." But the Bible says to love your neighbor, right? Love the brethren. So much so, it's interesting, because we're always kind of looking at the loophole. Remember Jesus said at the beginning, he said, "Look, you've heard, love your neighbor but hate your enemy." In Leviticus, when it talks about the law, it says to love your fellow. It doesn't say anything about hate. It's interesting. The Pharisees were teaching hate, but that's not what the Word of God says. But that's our natural response, right? There are people I love and people I don't love. And that's been kind of exasperated in our society because of social media, right? If you're in my political party, I like you. If not, I hate you. I mean, that's, right? If you don't agree with me, then I hate you. I mean, we've gotten to the point where there's no middle ground anymore. And this is nothing new because we've always had strong feelings against people we don't like. And so a scribe, a lawyer, one who dealt with the law of God, came to Jesus. And he says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' And so he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.'" But wanting to justify himself, I love this, right? Wanting to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Right? We talk about love your neighbor. Well, who is my neighbor, right? Is it just my fellow believers? Are those of like faith? Are those the ones that are on my political side? Are these my neighbors? And actually, Jesus took this opportunity to talk about the Good Samaritan. Now, to summarize that tonight, but here we had a gentleman was mugged, left for dead, and a scribe and a Pharisee just walked on by. But a Samaritan, who was an enemy of the Jews, stopped and helped the man out and took care of him and paid for all his care. And at the end of it, it says, hey, which was the guy's neighbor? And they couldn't even say the word, the Samaritan. He said, well, the guy that helped him. They couldn't even say the words. Folks, the love of God has to not just stop at the doors. Actually, Jesus, back in Matthew again, goes a little further, right? He talks about, this is what the law says. He says, you have heard it said you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. Now, if you don't feel convicted by the end of all this, you're thinking about the football game later on. I don't know what's going on. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Love those who are opposed to you. Love those who hurt you. Notice what he says here, that because God lives in me, right? I am his representative. God reflects himself in me and through me in these areas. What he says here is by loving what our enemies. To be a blessing to those that curse you. To do good to those that hate you. And to pray for those that use you. Ouch. That's hard. And in this, I need God to love through me. Because let me tell you something, folks. There are easy people to love, and there are hard people to love. And you know what? Maybe I'm the hard person to love. Maybe I'm not an easy one. You can talk to my wife about that. I'm not always lovely. But the love of God reaches out to the unlovely. We had a professor in school who used to always quote this. I don't know if this was from him or this came from somewhere else, but I can still see Mr. Lamford. He was a big woodsman from Passadumkeag. I don't know if you know where Passadumkeag was. He used to run logs down the river. He was a dynamite man. When the logs would jam up, his job was to light the dynamite and blow up the log jam. And he said he couldn't swim, but he could run fast. Big old burly man. I can still hear him say this. He talks about the love of God. He goes, the love of God reaches out in love to the unlovely to produce in the unlovely his own loveliness. The love of God is agape love. It's that God love, a love of choice. It's a love that's not dependent on the other person. That God loved me when I was his enemy. When I was opposed to him. I think sometimes as Christians we forget this. You know, we thank you, God, for his love. But God started loving us before we were saved. Before we were any good. And any good that's in me is because of him. Anything that annoys you about me is me. And God loves me anyways. I was the enemy of God, and you were the enemy of God, and yet he still loved you. Romans chapter 5, 6 through 10 says this, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And folks, we are called to love, to be a blessing, to pray for those that oppose us. You know, I want to get even. You know, they got what they deserve, and I get angry in my heart. There are people that, you know how this is, right? I think we're all this. There are people that you just hear someone's name, and it just boils up inside of you, right? You know, they just hear their name, and you're like, rawr, 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 rawr. And you say, wait a minute, Pastor, you want me to love them? I'm saying God wants you to love them. But you don't know. No, I don't know, but God does, and he wants to love them through you. Wow. Talk about counterculture. Because our world is telling us it's okay to hate the person that disagrees with you. You have every right to despise them, to tear them down. And yet the voice of God says, love them. He goes on in Matthew chapter 5. It says that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. See, we got to understand something about God's love. First of all, God's love is universal. He says, look, God gives us this world. Yesterday was a gorgeous day, wasn't it? Made me almost like fall. I'm not against fall. I just don't like winter, and I know it's coming, so I get miserable. But anyways. But it was a gorgeous day. But you know what? The sun shone on me as it much did down the wicked sinner down the road. God's love is universal. He pours out this goodness and mercy upon this world, whether they deserve it or not. And if I'm going to love like God does, I need to love everyone. It's unconditional. That God's love reaches out to those who can never do anything back for him. God loves unlovely people. You know, I think we all know people that are easy to love. There are just some people in our lives that we just think are wonderful, love being around, we'll do things for them. And then there are others who are kind of rascals, those who take advantage of it, those who we think they deserve it, God says love them too. To love those who cannot love you back or will not love you back. And God's love is never ending. You know, our human love is so conditional. You know, I'll love you as long as you are lovely, as long as you do things for me. But God's love doesn't end. Romans tells us this: what shall separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulation or distress, a persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor heights nor depths nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. God's love is never ending. Folks, there is nothing that you can do that will cause God to stop loving you. And if God is going to love through us, then we need to have that unconditional love. A love that doesn't end. Matthew tells us that Jesus goes even further. It says, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? And Jesus isn't here picking on the IRS. Actually, the tax collectors were the ones that were criticized for Jews who worked for the Roman government. They were seen as a sellout. often using their position of power to steal and take more for themselves. And they were hated for it. And Jesus uses it as an example. He says, look, if I only love lovely people, he goes, what difference does that make? The unsaved do that too. If I just love my family, the unsaved do that too. But we're not the unsaved. We're of God, and God works in us and works through this. And by that perfection of love in our lives, he says this, is therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. God wants to perfect us in love. And as I said, this is hard because my natural love is conditional, right? I want to love my kid, but your kid drives me nuts, right? That in here, I love those people who do kindness for me, but I want to hate those that don't show me that same kindness. But God wants to give us a supernatural love, that His Spirit now dwells in us. God lives in us and wants us to love through Him and show His love to the world around us. And folks, this supernatural love can only come from Him. And I need Him in my life. And I think more so, I don't know how the Lord spoke to you over the last six, weeks, talking about these six subjects of looking at the heart condition. But this one was probably the most challenging for me, because in my here, what is my heart really like? And do I have the love of Christ in me? And do I show it? 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. Look at this definition of love. It says, love suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. In all these things. And you're sort of a checklist saying, Lord, is this the kind of love I have in my life for everyone? And I would dare say that I'm sure there's some that test the limits of that love that you have. And what that does is drive us back to God and say, God, work in me. Lord, I fall short of this. And Lord, I need you to transform me. Lord, take away the hate that's in my heart and replace it with compassion. And it's an amazing thing that starts happening when we do that. We talked about this a little bit in Bible study on Tuesday night. Book of Ephesians talk about that the lost, they're blind, they're lost, they're deceived. And then we need to love them. That in here, the hopes is that we can take our enemies and turn them into our neighbors. That in here, by loving them, that God will transform them. And in them, if we love them as Christ would love them, that they'll accept Christ's love, and then they become the children of God. Pray for their salvation. Pray they will turn from their sins. Jude tells us this. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some having compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by their flesh, by compassion making a difference in people's lives. You guys have known, I've talked about my father and I did not have a great relationship after my parents' divorce, and I spent so much of my youth just bitter and angry of how he abandoned us and of how he treated us. And I was just so angry. And I remember I was at Bible school, and it's an amazing thing. You start getting in God's Word, and the Holy Spirit starts convicting you. And God told me, he goes, this isn't right. My anger wasn't right. But God, you don't know what he did. It's like, yeah, he does. And I started to pray for him. I said, Lord, change my heart. Now, he passed away, and I reached out to him several times, and he just couldn't let go of the past, and we never made things right, but I tried. And it's an interesting thing. After a while, the Lord took the anger I had and all of a sudden turned it into compassion, and I felt sorry for the guy. You know, because of his past and because of his not willing to let go, I said, you know what? He missed out on all our youth. He missed out on some great grandkids. He missed out on so much. And an amazing thing happened, that all of a sudden now, that hatred I once had for him, the Lord replaced it with compassion, that now I felt sorry for him. And I started praying for him. It's like, you know, I only had to deal with him for a short period of time, but he had to live with himself every day. The Bible says that through this, through compassion, we can make a difference. That, folks, let me tell you, as we start loving those around us, if we start loving the unlovely, some of them will get saved by our love. That's what attracts them. You know, we might try to take the moral high ground and say, I'm better than you. You know what? That repels people. I turn around and say, well, you know what? They deserve it. They deserve to go to hell. I hope they burn. Whoa. Jesus says he's not willing for any should perish, but all would come to repentance. It's interesting. Paul lists in a passage all these types of sins, and at the end of it, he goes, and such were some of you. Folks, where would you be without the love of God in your life? God loved you when you were his enemy. And he asks us now, not by the powers of the flesh, but through him, to love the unlovely around us. And in this, making a difference in the world for his name's sake. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, change us. Lord, we are in a world that's so full of hate and so heart full of division. Lord, help us to shine the light of your love on the unlovely around us. Change our hearts, Lord. Take away the hurt and the pain and the anger. And Lord, replace it with compassion and your love. That in this, Lord, we can draw men to you. Lord, as you forgive me, Lord, help me to forgive those. And Lord, I can only do this through you. Lord, fill me with your supernatural love to flow over to those around me. Lord, I pray for even now. I'm sure as we talk about these things, each one of us has a name, a person, Lord. We've been hanging on to that grudge. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, they'll just give that up to you. Forgive. And Lord, help me love. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. Lord, change us by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We ask this in your name.